What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Boys at 161st Street. Thanks for joining us today, as always. Before we get this rolling, we would really appreciate it if you guys could take 2 seconds and leave a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. All right, that's enough begging. This is another episode of Roll Call, a mini-series where we individually talk about each player on the Yankees. 15 minutes starts now.
All right.
Welcome back to Boys of 161st Street. Another episode with JJ over here. This episode is a roll call episode all about our boy, Masahiro Tanaka. What do we think about Tanaka? Ready to go.
What racist thing did you guys just say?
No, it's from the,
commercial.
They did the what's it called? The auto body commercial that Garrett.
The Willys or whatever.
No, the whiffs. Auto body. Okay. And then you didn't see that?
No. Now I did. You guys all of a sudden start doing an accent thing in, and you did it over each other, so I couldn't hear what it was you were saying. And I wasn't looking at the screen at the time. I was just like, what the fuck kind of Nazi meeting did I just walk into?
No, because he went like this. He did the thumbs up, so I knew what he was going to do. And then I said it. I didn't know what he was going to say at the same time. But that was when Tanaka was like, it panned over to Tanaka, and he just like dropped the hood of the car. And he goes, ready to go.
And that's that makes sense. Just hearing it, I was like, oh, okay, that's what that is.
Yeah.
But when you just hear, like when two people are talking at the same time, it's like, okay. Yeah.
We need to put some more context behind that.
Yeah.
If we put that in the clip, we'll put the GIF on the screen too. Anyway, so Tanaka last year, he's going into his age 31 season. Last year, he ended up with 32 games started, 4.45 ERA, 11-9. With a 1.9 war. So Tanaka to me has been one of obviously our most consistent starters who tends to just be lights out in the playoffs for whatever reason. I don't know if he talks to his family that day. He just locks in. He just something different switches in his brain. What do you guys think about Tanaka?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a big Tanaka fan. I think that he's just been a very consistent starter, even if his ERA fluctuates, you know, throughout the months. Either way, we always find a way to produce runs behind him or find some way to win. Even though, you know, he has 11 wins, 9 losses this season, but I don't know. I think it's one of those like eye test things where every time he's on the mound, I feel more confident that we're going to win the game. I'm a big Tanaka fan.
Unless he gives up the home run ball, because then he just looks like a lost puppy out there. Because he's one of those players who, either when you're in, he builds off that confidence and he just gets locked in. But
he's a body language guy.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Pineda. Pineda was a body language guy.
The biggest 100%. Body language 100%. Guy.
If Pineda got out of the first inning with no runs, it was over.
Yeah,
if he gave up a run, which he did 60% of the time. We were in trouble.
Yeah, and Tanaka is exactly like that, actually, now that you say it. I mean, he either will go 9 scoreless or he'll go 2 with 4 or 5 runs given up. And it's literally dependent on the first couple of batters.
Too.
Yeah, whenever he hits a home run or a ball just routine single, textbook single, drops in front of them, he'll throw his hands up in the air. And it's just so interesting the way he can beats up on himself or like gets in his own team. Like he's his biggest fan when he's doing well. And that obviously helps him go in the better direction, the worse direction. But Tanaka, to me, he'll have a 4.5 ERA. And honestly, a question for you guys is, do we overrate him a little bit?
He just isn't what we hoped he would be.
Yeah, because he came from Japan, obviously, and he was supposed to be this fantastic, like top of the line ace potential guy. And obviously the Tommy John that he elected to never get, he became less of the, because he used to be like a gas master. He used to just have the heat. And then when he elected to not get the surgery, he became the finesse guy because the velocity obviously dips. Mm-hmm. And I think that's interesting. And now he's starting to come into his own, I feel like, because now he's also adding the cutter too.
It's just, it's one of those things where it's like we said about CeCe, like, oh, well, he went from throwing to learning how to pitch. Yeah. Like, that's what we give as this cop out. No, how about I just wanted the guy who just fucking throws.
Yeah.
I wanted Japanese Roger Clemens, because that's always what we're promised.
Yeah.
We're all, everyone that was going to come over here with something like, oh, the gyro ball, no one's seen it before. He makes it dance. Like, there's always something. And then it just ends up not being that, but it's still like a serviceable major league career. I mean, he's made a shit ton of money. I don't know that anyone's going to hand him, you know, as a free agent after this year. I don't think anyone's handing him $20 million a year.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'll get a decent deal, hopefully with us, because he's a great – the problem is he makes ace money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think – how much is he making right now? Because he's not going to make that
23.
Again. 23. He's not going to make that again. The question is for you guys, obviously Tanaka and Paxton are free agents after this year. If you had to pick one of those, who would you pick?
Oof. Tanaka, because Tanaka is going to be at a better price to be able to have more flexibility.
You think it's going to be that different?
Paxton's a Boris guy.
Yeah. I feel like the price might be relatively similar. Obviously, the Boris effect gets every penny they're worth, but I think they're relatively similar in value considering the consistency that Tanaka brings and Paxton's injury problems. I think that closes the gap a little bit. And honestly, in terms of performance, that's what I was more asking the question for. Like, who do you, both healthy, playoff game, maybe playoff game is a bad example because Tanaka is the best playoff pitcher on our team. But honestly, yeah, playoff game, I think that adds a lot of value to Tanaka. And I would pick Tanaka regardless of money. If he had to get them both for the same price, I'm picking Tanaka all day.
Yeah, I'm just saying they're never going to be the same price. Like, in the real world, like, Tanaka's got a family. He's got a base in New York, so he's probably – there might be some hometown discount there. Paxton will have spent 1 year in New York because there's no way there's baseball in New York this year.
Yeah.
So after 1 year in New York, a lot of time home rehabbing. What's it in Houston, like in the Houston area? Like, you know, it's kind of a blank canvas of like, hey, where do you want to go? Who's going to give me money? We just came out of a recession. Where like we're in a recession, you know, depending on how things go, I think all that like factors in too.
Yeah. Especially because Paxton didn't have a great season either. There's not a lot backing him up to help him out with an extension or anything
in the Yankees.
Like,
case,
it's gonna be worth a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
But like Boris finds that value because if you look at Paxton, you go, all right, you kind of stunk in 2019 until like the late in the season, the playoffs, you were good. I mean, you weren't the best pitcher ever, but you were good. And then you had a back surgery. And then if there was no season, it's like that. And we've seen nothing since.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's almost like a Sonny Gray effect where he's not great pitching in New York, but then if he goes somewhere else, he could be that pitcher that we saw in Seattle?
Possibly, because we've heard Sonny Gray say on like R2C2, like, I was trying to get more into like Bauer shit, and like the Yankees just weren't ready for that. They weren't ready for, you know, these crazy cameras that slow everything down more, or, you know, Larry's not talking about spin rate as much as he's like, you know, you want to get a good cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Which is interesting now because who knows what it's like now with Matt Blake. And maybe guys like Bauer, and I would have loved Bauer to come over as a free agent just because of his antics on the side. But with Tanaka specifically, I don't know what it is about him. He just, like, why can't you put together the playoff performances in the regular season? Because in the regular season, he doesn't look great. He looks like an average pitcher, like you said, a third in the rotation guy, never higher than that. He'll never be an ace in the playoffs. I'm putting him as the game one starter. But I just don't understand, why is it night and day? Like, that is just so weird to me.
He's got, like, he throws out those like ace games every once in a while.
Yeah, he'll flash them.
But, and it like brings us back. And we're like, you know, but there are times where you're, you know, like, fuck, man, this guy stinks because it's so much money. But if you were getting this out of him at like, you know, $13 million a year, I don't think anyone would complain about it. Yeah. And I don't know what it is that he can't just like quite figure it out, you know, all the time. But like, not a lot of people can. Like, that's like rare air. Like, Tanaka is not a Hall of Fame pitcher.
No.
Not here. In Japan, like if he had stayed in Japan the whole time, and he still might be in Japan, just be, like I don't know how they decided, if they're dickheads about it, or if they even have one. But with our process, like no way.
Yeah, and the night and day thing is so true. I'm pulling up a quick couple stats real quick just to give some more context. But you know, in some games he lets up two hits, no runs, and no bombs or anything like that, and then he goes back and lets up 10 hits, 12 hits, 8 hits, and completely shits the bed. So the night and day thing is insane.
I know. We've gone to games. Like when I remember going to one game where he went, it was a day game. I don't know which game it was, but he went 9 scoreless. And I'm pretty sure he gave up like one hit. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And then the next day we watch a game, or next start, and he gives up like 5 runs in the first couple innings. It's just, we talk about him being Mr. Consistent, but I feel like he's the most inconsistent player on this team.
He's a guy who you hear all the time, and like we give him credit for, like, oh, he fought through even though he didn't have it tonight. Like, I don't know, $23 million, just have it.
But you know, it's funny.
Yeah. We just have it.
They it's do say that all the time.
It's funny because I think that, again, because we think he's Mr. Consistent, the games that he maybe lets up a lot of runs and produces that high ERA, we end up winning the game. You know, we end up winning these games that are 11-5, 17-13, 12-15. Like,
he went 11-9. I don't think we win those games.
What?
I actually don't think we win any of those games, because when he has this bad stuff, those are all the 9 losses. And then
I'm looking at the stats right now.
So he loses the good games? That makes no sense.
I'm saying some games where he has that high ERA, we end up winning. And that's why it's overshadowed sometimes.
Well, the thing is, like, if we score 6 runs or more, he's 7-0 last year. If we score 3-5 runs, he's 3-5. If we score 0-2, like 0 runs to 2 runs, he's 1-3. And I know it's like record, but his ERA is still like, if we score 3-5 runs, his ERA is 5-6.
Yeah, because like, he's still letting up the runs.
In the 7 games when we score 6 runs or more and he's 7-0, his ERA is 4-2-3. Like, yeah. That's average at best, middle of the road
pitch. And who knows, maybe that might be off-putting to another organization that can't have the same run support as the Yankees. And if he's showing that these numbers that he's producing, he's consistently doing these 4.45 ERA, he doesn't have the Yankees lineup to back him up, it might be a little off-putting to other teams.
Yeah.
Entering the market.
What those numbers tell me, honestly, and I'm not going to read too deeply into them, but honestly, those numbers kind of tell me a little bit that he plays up to his competition and right to it. Like, if you're in a tight ball game, 1-0, he'll go out and do that scoreless. Like, I think the game we went to that was 9 scoreless, it's like 1-0. Like, he plays exactly to his competition, not above, not below. And if we're in a shootout with the Astros, yeah, it looks good when you only give up 5 because the Astros are a great team. But he would have done that against any other team just because he has the run support to get, like, he has that buffer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in any game, he'll give up 4 runs if the Yankees put up 6. He'll make it close. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, like, so the same way we say, you know, like, I think we all agree, like, he's right there. Like, he's a good pitcher. But he's right there.
Yeah.
Like, he's 4 more dominant starts a season from, like, holy shit, yeah, like, this guy's the man. But he is just as many, if not fewer, more blowouts away from just like, yo, he's just not a good pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, he's right in the middle.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what his win-loss ratio would be when the Yankees score first.
Yeah.
I think that a point that you brought up, JJ, was that he's the body language and is, again, what Luke said, was playing to a competition. I think that goes hand in hand, because let's say that the Yankees score 2 runs. Maybe doesn't have that fire under him as much because he's got that run support. So maybe he starts letting up a little bit and vice versa. So I think that'd be an interesting stat line to look at, see what kind of relevance that brings.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of starts that the game's over before it starts, one way or another. He comes out and it's like he threw 10 pitches, 1-2-3 inning, and you're like, you guys are fucked tonight. You know, or he went out there and he just looks lost and, you know, has bad body language and gave up 4 home runs and just like, or you, you know, or gave up four runs or three runs, and it's just like, you know, another run's coming in the second and two in the third.
Yeah, because if that changeup's not working, he's fucked.
Yeah, where it's like, part of me even thought when this first started, like, when, you know, this, you know, things look bad for, like, where, like, the world is going right now. Like, Tanaka, you should just get fucking surgery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not going to be a season. You're coming off like a good, you know, a decent, you know, season. You get it. And then maybe you come back to the Yankees because, like, you kind of want to anyway on, like, a cheaper deal. Because, like, how much are you going to impress? You know, and now you're only playing maybe three quarters of a season next year. But you could do that back to throwing gas if you think you can do that. Yeah. I don't know.
That's interesting because that's what Chris Sale did. Because, I mean, the second he got a whiff of this, like, this whole thing that was going to happen, he shut it down. He said, all right, let's just get the surgery.
Well, they also traded Price and Mookie Betts.
Exactly.
Which made that decision a lot easier.
Yeah.
If they said Judge was out for the season for, like, his rib, and then, like, Stanton got hit by, like, a bus, and they're just like, listen, this is a very Mike Tauchman team right now.
This team is led by Mike Tauchman.
I forgot Tyler that Wade. This was two separate podcasts. That joke is a callback for only the three.
Go back
of us.
And watch. Go back and watch.
And anyone who did the Tauchman. Yeah. They did the Tauchman. I mean,
so we'll release this one after the other ones. So everybody has context. Yeah,
there you go.
But I think that is interesting because he, I don't know, he just seems like, wait, where were we going with this? I had a point.
I was saying he maybe should have thought about Tommy John.
Tommy John.
Well, who knows? I mean, it's an extreme move. It was easier for Sale to make the decision than it would be to, you know, if there is some kind of season, if there is some kind of World Series, if you're a player, I think, you know, you'll take this one over none.
Yeah. I think that the point I was trying to make was Tanaka will never really have that opportunity to, like, the Yankees have been good and they're always a playoff contender. So he's never going to really be like, okay, this is the season where I'm going to take off. If you're on another team, like, the Orioles, he would have got that done probably in year one, like in the year where it happened.
Oh yeah.
So
but it's also Tommy John. It's a different type of surgery. Although, like, if you have a other surgery that's a little more predictable with the rehab and how you're going to come out throwing afterwards, it might be an easier decision. But because Tommy John is so unpredictable with recovery time and how it's going to go and how you're going to come back throwing, it also makes the decision just that much tougher.
Honestly, I don't
Is it still unpredictable?
I feel like it's pretty predictable now.
I don't know. I mean, I could be very, I don't take my word on anything medical related, but I feel like from what I've heard, a lot of the times you come back either throwing better or throwing much worse or almost the same. But from what I've heard, it's just always very unpredictable still.
Either way, I honestly don't think this will ever be an issue for him because I think he's completely bought into that whole figure out how to pitch kind of campaign because he is now this season adding the cutter. That to me is an indicator that, like, he's all into being this finesse pitcher. He's never going to get this surgery because why? Why would he? Why are you adding a cutter and becoming this just finesse guy because he has the slider, cutter, sinker, whatever, like all that sort of stuff. You know, I think
you're holding it together because how old is he again?
31.
31.
31. You get another 4-year contract. You made, I don't know how much in Japan. You made 155 so far with this, like, the current contract. You know, you just get another thing. You're set for life. Who knows what the fucking endorsement money is like over there for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably doing ads we have no idea about.
Yeah. I think he's set on money. That's not the problem. I think more of the thing is that if he were to get the surgery, let's play just into a different world here, he then has to – he's been this finesse pitcher for how many years? When did the injury allegedly happen? Like 3 or 4 years ago?
No, it was like right away, I believe.
So like or 6 years ago. Then.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
He's been in the league for 6 years. So
I think it was like his first season.
So then 6 years he's been dealing with this. Maybe I feel 15. Like at this point, let alone being like adding the cutter, buying into being this, I feel like he's in too deep to go back to what he was because like then you got to figure out, he spent all this time figuring out how to be a finesse pitcher coming from a power pitcher. Then you got, if you get the surgery, you got to go back and figure out how to be a power pitcher. Like, I feel like that's almost too daunting to even go into, like, to get the surgery, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Now it's kind of like he is what he is. But at the same time, now you're going to the market as like he is what he is. And what he is is like a number three starter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's more likely than not that he's going to become worse and not better.
Yeah. And that's the difference between if he gets the surgery, because then it's all upside versus just he is what
but
he
who
is.
Knows? Maybe Matt Blake is like, hey, I got this fucking trick. You want to see some spins? Some spin rates, buddy? Would be like the Houston Astros in here.
I would not be opposed to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, maybe he's more likely to want to stay because we treat it like, if Matt Blake's so good, he should treat it like Scientology. And like there's different levels and you earn it over time. And then he can unlock more out of you. Yeah. It's worked for Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Scientology.
All right, I think that's where we end the episode. I think we got a little bit of Scientology. We'll end it on Scientology. Okay, that was Tanaka. Tune in next time. See who I don't know how we got to Scientology, but we'll get somewhere else crazy on a different.
Your listeners will like it. Oh,
yeah.
They'll like it.
Yeah. Anyway, see you guys. Just another way to survive. Should have seen her come when I got a little brighter. With a name like Day in California, day was gonna come when I was gonna moan ya. A little loaded, she was stealing another breath. I love my baby to death. Never made it up to Minnesota. No.